Oh, yeah. So good. So good. How are you guys? Good. Hello to everybody watching online. It is Super Bowl Sunday for our church. That's what we call baptism. And if you're a Bronco fan, it's the only Super Bowl you're going to get this year. It was painful to watch the first quarter today, but they're kind of turning it around in London, but we'll see how that goes. So here's the deal. I want to share a few things. First, I want to welcome you. If you're a guest with us here at Grace, we are thrilled to have you. I'm glad you've come to support your friend or family member in their amazing step of being baptized, and I'll explain really what that means here in a little bit, but I want to share all the cool stuff that's happening here, at least a little bit of it, up front. You know, we are partnering with Operation Christmas Child, the Samaritan's Purse. You've probably seen Reverend Graham, and this is one of the best outreaches, really, in the world. We support children, give them a Christmas by taking a shoebox, filling it up with toys, and then it is taken to these children wherever they are in the world, and the gospel is presented to them. Well, we are also a sponsored church, which means we're a drop-off point. And we bit off a lot. Pastor Shelley and the team bit off a lot this year and said, we believe in our church. We believe you can do it. You did it. You took 1,100 boxes. So, yeah, give yourself a hand. Now, that is awesome, but you got to bring them back, all right? So next weekend, November 5th and 6th, is the return time, and you have until the 12th and 13th, but I would encourage you just to do it next weekend, all right? But great, great job. This is extraordinary, and it doesn't surprise me because this is the most giving, generous, amazing church in the world. And I don't say that because I'm the pastor. I say it because it's true. You know, when the fire hit a year ago in Lafayette, Louisville, we wanted to be able to do something. We have 48 families that travel from there that go to church here. Some of them did lose portions of their home, but nobody lost their home in those 48. However, we wanted to reach out to the community. And even those who had damage to their home said, give it to others who are hurting worse than us. So we raised $117,200.43. Yeah, amazing. And what's so cool is that we connected to, through my son, who is a firefighter, first responder, and also owns an organization up at the stable. And they were affected by the fire as well, but they're also a kind of a central location. And we have helped 30 families. What is really awesome about this is every one of those families has come here to meet with me and the pastors and pray, and we've presented the checks to them. And we knew for $117,000 we weren't going to be rebuilding anybody's home. But what we could do is restore some of their dignity, some of the comfort that they had grown accustomed to, some of the needs. We were able to buy kids' school clothes and clothes for school supplies. We were able to buy a bike for kids in a family, or chairs for them in the apartment they're staying in now. And we were able to give them significant needs and meet those needs. And it's all because of you. And each and every one of them heard the gospel. And it was always amazing. Every single one of them, without exception, said, why would a church like this, who doesn't know us, help? And I said, because we love our community, and you will never find a more loving church. So we were able to disperse the rest of those funds. I wanted you to know that every penny went to those families, every penny, down to the 43 cents. And you are amazing, and I love you. I had a chance to write thank you notes and just... very encouraged. I'm very grateful to Shelley and Leah and the team for what they've done as well. It's a lot of work on top of everything else they do. And then we are in the midst of building a center of hope. Now, we haven't broke ground or anything like that. It's going to be about a 3 to 4 year project, God willing. But we are full tilt into the capital campaign. And we are blessed to have an extraordinary couple here at Grace volunteering as our team lead. And that is Jason and Summer DeFreya. They're just amazing and beautiful inside and out. I have 3 beautiful daughters, college-age daughters, and they have taken on this enormous role. And as they are leading the cabinets, these are groups of people that have been identified through the study. You are those people. Some of you know who you are. 127 of you said, we would love to participate in helping assist with the campaign. But again, it's kind of like the boxes. That's great, but we need you to do it. So we need six more of you to use that email address, get a hold of Jason and Summer DeFreya, and tell them we want to participate. Right, Jason? Six more. And Jason, step in here just a second. Everybody can turn around and see Jason back there. I know you see his picture. He's going to be here today. Yeah, we love you, man. Thank you and your beautiful wife. So you can see Jason afterwards, and he'll get you signed up. If you don't want to email, it'll be simple. So we're so, so grateful to them. Well, what is baptism? You know, many of you come from maybe different religious institutions, or maybe you have no background. What is the purpose of baptism? I thought the best place for us to go before we jump into this amazing celebration is to look at how Jesus got baptized and why Jesus himself got baptized. And you know, as a ministry, in the early years of our ministry, we were able to have everybody in the little auditorium over there for a few services. But because of the size of our ministry and the membership of the church, we have multiple services, we were not able to have all the children in here. Well, they have come to join us this weekend. There were many here last night, many that actually got baptized. And I wanted to recognize our incredible Grace Kids team. We have Carla Morgan is our head of Grace Kids. We have Tristan Echeverria. We have Courtney Garrett. And now our newest member, Kim Daly. What a job they do with all of you volunteers. And Friday night was another example of that, as we had nearly 800 here for Fall Fest, our Halloween substitute there, alternative. Amazing. 80 of you volunteered. If you volunteered or you volunteer with kids ministry, you're part of the kids ministry, stand up real quick. Stand up for just a second, would you? Look at these amazing people. Love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for all that you do. Thank you. And finally, on top of that, you probably walked in and said, why do they have a Christmas tree up already? That you can't do that until after Thanksgiving, right? Well, there's a purpose for that Christmas tree. That Christmas tree has ornaments on it that we would encourage you to take and go buy a $25 gift card. You know, gift cards are the gift that we give because we don't want to think about having to get a real gift. You know, we get those gift cards. And you can buy a couple extra, and you're going to be helping families in our church who couldn't have a Christmas otherwise and just need some help. And not just Christmas, but Thanksgiving as well. So if we just get rid of all those ornaments, everybody buys a couple gift cards, we will be able to help about 100 families. I think there were 400 cards, but there's many, many families in the church that need our help. And so please just take an ornament with you or two and get a couple extra gift cards, and we will help out those families. You know, I want to speak to the children that are in here for a moment. You know, baptism, guys, is really something that brings happiness and joy to God. As a matter of fact, it's about happiness. When we get baptized, we make God happy. The Bible says he delights in this. He finds joy in it. And then in turn, you get to be filled with joy because you're being obedient to God. You get to be blessed by God. And what you're going to see in a moment, speaking to everybody, is what is really unleashed in our life when we get baptized. Now, what we do know about baptism, it is not salvation. It has nothing to do with salvation. Some of you ask the question, well, I was baptized when I was a baby. That's great, but that's not the biblical baptism. That was really more like a dedication of your parents because you didn't know what was happening, right? Baptism is supposed to follow your salvation. Baptism is an outward expression of an inward transformation. There's never a time that I talk about baptism, I don't use my wedding ring as an example. My wedding ring doesn't make me married. It just shows to everybody that I am. And I could take it off, I'm still married. I'd be in trouble with my wife, but I could do it. But it doesn't make me married. Baptism doesn't make you a Christian. Baptism signifies that somewhere in your life you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you know you're a Christian, and you now want to follow God by making a public profession. And when you get baptized, it's like joining a team. You know, a lot of these kids play soccer. Four of my grandchildren were baptized last night. Yeah, it was absolutely amazing. Zoe and Kinsley and Jason, Calvin, And that's an extraordinary blessing to see your, and my two oldest, 9 and 8 and a half, they're the same age I was when I got baptized. And children can understand what baptism is. They can understand and come to know Jesus. Matter of fact, Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. Belief is that simple that many people miss it. Well, it's kind of like, baptism's kind of like when you join a sports league. Some of these kids play soccer. My kids play soccer and basketball and baseball and football. When you join a team and you get to be part of that team, the moment you step on that team, it becomes about the team, not about you. I always used to tell my athletes, I coached basketball in high school for 25 years, I used to say this, great players are made in the off season. That's where you put all your time into you. But great teams are built during the season. That's when you put all your emphasis into the team, making your teammates better. Well, that's what baptism is. As a matter of fact, Jesus shows us how we become part of the team, and it's in John 3:16. The most famous verse in all the Bible. You don't even have to be a Christian to know John 3:16. You've seen the address at a football game or a basketball game or a concert. Look at this. For this is how God loved the world. He loves everybody. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Did you know that Jesus Christ, when he walked on this earth, he got baptized. And he didn't have to get baptized to say, oh, I want to follow myself. He got baptized to show us how to be obedient to God's plan. And he allowed a man named John the Baptist. He was a wild man. Some would argue maybe a cousin by marriage because Elizabeth and Mary were related. And the Bible says that when Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant and Mary went to see her, that the baby in her womb, which was Jesus, leaped with joy. Well, that's because John was the first prophet in 400 years. And when John was set apart to be a prophet of God, he went into the wilderness, he wore camel's hair, and he ate locusts and honey. Now, don't look down on eating bugs. I've been to the Amazon a lot. I've eaten bugs. They're not all that bad, all right? But he did. That's what he did. And he had a mission to preach the kingdom of God. So Jesus lives for 30 years. He's incarnate. He becomes flesh and dwells among us. And then at 30 years of age, he begins his earthly ministry that, by the way, only lasted 3.5 years. And in Matthew chapter 3, we pick up the story of Jesus' baptism. We're going to find out 3 blessings and benefits of being baptized. Look at this. Then Jesus left Galilee to come to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John, it says, but when he waded into the water, John resisted him, saying, why are you doing this? I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, and yet you come to be baptized by me. I think if you knew who Jesus was and you knew your sinfulness, you'd have the same response, right? But Jesus replied, it is only right to do all that God requires. Then John baptized him. And as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descended out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Then suddenly, imagine this, the voice of the Father shouted from the sky saying, this is my Son, the Beloved. And I want you to underline this, my greatest delight is in him. You know, this is how Jesus begins his earthly ministry. And he begins to officially serve God's purposes and live for God's glory. When you get baptized, when you see these baptisms, I want you to imagine that God is shouting from the sky, this is my son, this is my daughter, and I am very pleased. I delight in their decision. You know, many years ago, a couple came to our church, and this happens quite often. They were living together and unmarried, and they owned a home and 2 cars, even had children. But when they became believers in Jesus Christ, they realized that they were indulging in the benefits of marriage without making the vow or the commitment to one another. And when they realized that marriage is about giving, not getting, they got married. They made that decision. And a lot of times we see that in the church. People indulge in the benefits of the ministry. They want their needs to be met. And many times they are. But they've never taken the step to make a commitment to the work of God. Do you know that God's work on this earth will only happen through the church? This is His body on this planet. And it's all about what we're giving, contributing, not what we're consuming. So today, all of these amazing people getting baptized are showing a sign of a commitment to live a new life. And for those that are getting baptized, the Bible gives us three promises in this passage. You might not have seen them right up front, very obviously, but I'm going to give them to you. The first is this. God gives these three promises, and the first is, I am now able to live out His purposes for my life. You're like, well, wait a second. I haven't been water baptized, but I'm trying to live God's purposes. Yeah, but you're doing it without the full blessing of God. Because He says, to be a member of my family, to be obedient, is to take the first step, water baptism, to signify publicly. I've had people say, well, Pastor, there's nowhere in the Bible that it teaches we are supposed to be members of the church. I said, oh, yeah, it's called baptism. That's how they showed their membership in the early New Testament church. And by the way, when they got baptized, they put a mark on their head, and many of them would die, suffer persecution. Baptism is a picture of starting a new life. And some would say turning over a new leaf. And the people who were baptized by John were not only starting a new life, they were risking their life, but it was worth it because they believed in the Messiah who God sent. And Jesus allows John to baptize him, and today you're going to see pastors and friends and family members. Last night we had a teacher baptize a third grader. And it was just awesome to think that you have teachers on the front line sharing the gospel with these kids. And in all of that, Matthew chapter 3:11, right before that, it's not in your outline, but you can see it on the screen. John said, in fact, when he's talking about Jesus, he says, I'm not even worthy enough to pick up his sandals. Can you imagine? That's humility. You know, when we take this step, we're saying, God, I want Jesus to shine in my life. And Jesus replied, it is only right to do all that God requires. And then John baptized Jesus. You know, if you think about Jesus getting baptized by John, that would be like the quarterback of the Broncos allowing a fourth grader to quarterback the team. Well, that's probably a bad illustration. Let's say Peyton Manning allowing you to quarterback that team, right? But yet he did it, and he showed his humility, and it's an extraordinary picture. And then John says this in John 3:30, it is necessary for him to increase and for me to decrease. When you get baptized, you are saying this, I want Jesus to be more evident in my life than ever before. Every day, I want him to increase and me, my selfishness, my sinfulness, to decrease. Look at Romans 6:4. Sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried with him. So that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. This is what happens supernaturally. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of a new life. Circle those words. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all, but he now lives continuously for the Father's pleasure. That's what we should be living for, God's pleasure. That's called worship. So let it be the same way with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure in union with Jesus, the Anointed One. You know, if you're not sure, by the way, what those purposes are that are spoken of in Scripture, there's five of them. There's not three, not one, not six, there's five. As a matter of fact, we use our name at Grace, and I'm going to start a series next weekend that's going to unveil why we exist. And I would encourage you to be here. The most important 5 weeks we'll spend this year. But if you're not sure what your purposes are, let me break them down. If you look at our name, Grace, we use those letters, G-R-A-C-E, to remember the five reasons we were created. We were created to glorify God. That's the first. That's the G. And you can glorify God going to school and doing your best for God's glory, going to work, getting your education, a hobby. The Bible says you can eat a hamburger and glorify God. Whether you eat or drink, do it all for God's glory. Then next, we're called to relate to others, build relationships with other believers, build relationships with those who need Jesus to lead them to Christ. And then we're called to act more like Jesus. If at the end of the day, I'm a little bit more like Christ than I was when the day started, it's a good day. And acting like Jesus means that my life is changing. I'm thinking and acting like Jesus. Then, fourth purpose is we're here to care for others. That is ministry. So often Christians think church is something you go to. It's a building. It is not. You are the body of Christ. If you are a Christian, you are given a gift, and you should be using that gift in your local church. But he also gives us a mission. We use the word express. We're here to express the good news about Jesus, to share the good news about Jesus. You know, even children have a spiritual gift, at least one. And in our ministry, we have children serving in many different capacities. If you're a child and you're like, I want to use my gift. I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I want to use my gift. You go to your teacher. You go to the head of Grace Kids, and they will get you plugged in. You know, I love looking out on the weekends, and I'll see multiple children who are going into, you know, sixth grade or seventh grade who are serving. Abby Stocker is in the photography, and she's been on the cameras here. We have her in charge of Reach Department. Her and Finley did an amazing job doing the drama with Brenda Music for all the night of Fall Fest, and giving the gospel. It was great. We have people like Bodie Faust, who runs a camera. Caleb Hancock runs a camera. Aaliyah Colley runs a camera. They're all doing this as children. They're serving. Why? Because they have a gift. And in many ways, they kind of put to shame a lot of us adults, because they're serving. They're showing that I understand my purpose. So God says, I promise that I am going to bless your life when you follow my purpose to be baptized. And we're promising to now be able to live out fully his purposes. Second, he said, I'm now able to be led by his Holy Spirit into the best life possible. Now I realize, if you're not a Christian, or you don't go to church, or maybe never read the Bible, you're like, ooh, okay, that's weird. Yeah, let me just say, it does sound weird. But it's not some creepy, ooh, spirits, ghosts, and goblins. The Holy Spirit is the third person in the Trinity. We have one God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when you trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you. He is there with you. Look at Matthew 3:16. This is so cool. And as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descend out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. Man, it's kind of like you have this supernatural, not kind of, you have this supernatural power in your life, the power of God to work in you. And when you're a Christian, you get all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. But when you get baptized, you are saying, God, take control of all my life. Because if you picture your life like a house, because the Bible describes it that way, a lot of Christians say, oh yeah, God, come on in. They open the front door, but they keep all the other doors shut. God, you can't go in there. I know I'm probably not supposed to do that. Don't go in there, right? When you get baptized, you're saying, God, I'm giving you everything. Go in every room. Clean the closets out. I want to follow you. That's the difference between salvation and, in other words, sanctification, being set apart. It's kind of like this, you know, if you're a kid, Marvel Comics, DC Comics, you know, all these great movies that they've been producing for a million years now, it seems like. It's a supernatural power that overtakes you. Matter of fact, Zechariah 4 says, this is what the Lord says. It's not by force nor by strength, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Nothing, listen close, not even a mighty mountain will stand in our way. You know what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit? In the Greek, he is the paraclete. Not to be confused with your parakeet. He's the paraclete or parakletos. And what that means in the original language is he is your advocate. He is your friend. He is your defender. He is your counselor. After my purpose series, I'll be doing a series leading into Christmas called He Shall Be Called from Isaiah 9:6. He is our Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. What do those mean? He's the only person in the universe that will stand beside you when everybody else leaves. He's the only person that can carry us through the difficult times. So when we get baptized, we are saying, God, I want you to come into every room of my life. And I want to show you guys something, because there's a lot of debate in the church over the Holy Spirit and what his role is. And when you receive the Holy Spirit, you might hear people say, oh, there's got to be a baptism of the Holy Spirit or a second blessing. Well, that's not accurate. Look at Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Then this is where it happens. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. That's actually described as the seal of a king 2,000 years ago in Rome, like Caesar, that would take his signet ring that was his image and put it in hot wax, and then there'd be a scroll of parchment, and he would melt that wax onto that parchment, and nobody could break that seal, or the message was null and void. The Holy Spirit is that seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit. That's the word earnest money. That's the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So what happens is the moment we trust in Jesus, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He doesn't leave us. He will never leave us until we stand in the presence of God. You have that paraclete next to you, in you, through you. However, he's not opened up to your life until you take this step of obedience to be baptized. He's still waiting for you to follow Christ's example. And then third promise is this, before we go into these amazing celebrations, I am now able to bring God great delight in this life and the next. When I get baptized, I'm saying, God, I want to bring you joy, and I want that joy to continue for all eternity. This means God takes pleasure in watching his children walk in obedience to him. He does. The Bible tells us over and over. That's what worship is. When we worship God, not just musical worship, remember everything we do is worship, we bring God pleasure. In Matthew 3:17, we'll read it again, as Jesus rose up out of the water, the heavenly realm opened up over him, and he saw the Holy Spirit descended out of the heavens and rest upon him in the form of a dove. God takes great pleasure. And then, look at this, then suddenly the voice of the Father shouted from the sky saying, this is my Son, the Beloved, my greatest delight is in him. You know, God takes great pleasure and finds eternal joy in our obedience. The Bible tells us that when we release the Holy Spirit's power in our life, he gives us peace in the storm, John 14, 27. He tells us that God's love is released, John 15, 9 through 10. God's joy is released, John 15, 11 through 20. He tells us that he comforts our hearts and minds in a troubled and scary world. Anybody think it's a little troubled and scary? So even though we are giving God great delight, he's giving us far more. That's always the case. Look at Psalm 149. For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. Yeah, let me just pause there. Some of you grew up around, you know, stale, cold religion, and they told you all the time, God's mad at you. God's angry at you. God's looking, what are you doing today? That is not God. That's religion. He says he crowns the humble with victory. Let the faithful rejoice that he honors them. Let them sing for joy as they lie on their beds. That means when you go to sleep at night, you have that joy of knowing God is everything to me. He has control of my life. You know, every single baptism that we see today will be a significant celebration of miraculous transformation in every person's life who's been saved by grace and is now following in the obedience of God. You know, in this chapter, when it says Jesus walked from Galilee, that was 60 miles. Anybody walk 60 miles to get baptized today? Yeah, I didn't think so, right? In this chapter, in chapter 3, that's what we learn. And John showed the importance of this ceremony, how significant it is. And every baptism today will be significant. At Grace, when people get baptized, we don't go, oh, hallelujah. We cheer, we make noise, we get excited, because this is, apart from their salvation, the greatest step they will take. And what we won't read today is that after these amazing steps that Jesus took and being baptized, what followed was the temptation in the wilderness. Because often what follows a decision to follow Christ is that the enemy wants to destroy you. And that's why you need a body of believers. You need a local church, a family. You need Christians to walk beside you. You need to be serving so that you can feel God's presence working through your life, praying, being in His Word. That's what we are celebrating today. It's not some ritual, and then we just go back to normal. I can still remember when I got baptized, 8.5 years old. I remember coming out of that water like it was yesterday. And I knew God was going to do something significant in and through me. Now, I'm not the one who determines whether or not it's been significant, but I can tell you what He's done in me has been significant. Look at Ephesians 1, 4 through 7. Even before the world was made, God had already chosen us to be His through our union with Christ, so that we would be holy and without fault before Him. Because of His love, God had already decided that through Jesus Christ, He would make us His children. Now, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if you don't know for sure you're going to heaven, listen to these words. This was His pleasure and purpose. God's pleasure and purpose isn't to hurt you or destroy you. It's to save you. Let us praise God for His glorious grace. What is grace? It's getting what we don't deserve. We deserve hell. I deserve it. So do you. Because of our sin. But it says, for the free gift He gave us is His dear Son. That's Jesus. For by the blood of Christ, we are set free. That is, our sins are forgiven. How great is the grace of our God. Jesus came for that significant purpose. Now, we're going to celebrate baptisms. And I'm going to ask all those who are scheduled to be baptized, and everybody just keep looking up here, to stand and go to the back in the foyer. You'll meet a pastor there. They'll all walk you through it, and they'll get you to the tent and get you ready. But then I also want to say this. There's probably some who are sitting here that went, you know, I've done a lot of things in my Christian life, but I've never taken that step of obedience. Well, you can get baptized today. We have day of baptisms. We have clothes, changing area, pastors to talk to you in the foyer. It'll be part of the celebration. In a moment, I'll dismiss you to go as well. But right now, I'd like to ask everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes for a moment. This is a very personal time because our salvation literally hangs in the balance. If you're here and for the first time that made sense to you, maybe you thought, you had to be religious or give up bad deeds and do good things and join a religion and get baptized and take communion and all those things that may be good, but they won't save you. And you discover today that God did it all through Jesus Christ, then I want to challenge you to trust in Him right now. Right where you sit. Wherever you're at in the world, you can say this in your mind. God, I get it. You're perfect. I'm sinful. But right now, I believe that Your Son, Jesus Christ, came into this world, lived a perfect life, and died on the cross for all my sins. I believe He rose again 3 days later, and right now, I receive the free gift of salvation. Thank You, God, for saving me. Friend, welcome to the family of God. Remember Ephesians 1, 13, 14, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are God's forever. He'll never leave you. You have the Paraclete in you now. The Holy Spirit. And I want to pray for you. I want to have you stand up or come forward. But in a moment, heads bowed and eyes closed, I'll have you slip up your hand and put it right back down. It just tells me you got it. So if you're saying, today, I believe and I receive the free gift of salvation. Would you slip your hand up? Just slip it up. God bless you, my friend. God bless you guys. Slip it up. You can put it right back down. God bless you. Thank you. Welcome to the family of God. You know, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into baptisms. But if you made that decision, before you leave, you can text the word believe to 720-895-9000. We'll get in touch with you this week. We've got some gifts for you. Or you can stop in the foyer on your way out at the Connection Center and say, I'd just like a new believer bag. It's got a new Bible, my last book, Grace Happens, to help you on a daily journey. There's some other gifts in there. We just want to welcome you to the family of God and support you. You made the wisest decision in the world. So maybe you got saved and you're like, I'm not going to wait. I'm going to follow Christ in obedience. I'm going to get baptized today too. Anyone who would like to get baptized now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, just stand up. Go to the back foyer. Don't hesitate. And they'll get you set up. We would love to celebrate with you. Father God, we're blown away at your mercy and grace. Those you've called into your kingdom today, and all those, Lord, who will make this massive decision to follow you in their life. Lord God, we celebrate each and every one. May you take complete glory for everything that happens today. In every life, it's all about you, Father. We love you, we praise you, and we celebrate. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, here we go. Last night we had 26 that got baptized last night. And it was absolutely amazing, story after story. And I just want you to relax, but also be excited. Cheer these incredibly courageous people on, okay? First, we have over here, and I'll kind of point out the tubs, where they're going to be baptized. Actually, on the right side, on the south tub, is Elias Cordova. And Elias said this. He's the boyfriend, and Danielle is his girlfriend. They go to church here. Elias accepted Christ when he was 19 years old. He was baptized when he was younger, but now he has a better understanding of what it means as an adult. He wants to be baptized today because he wants to be obedient to Christ of his own free choice. Elias, proud of you, man. It's awesome. Yeah. Amen. Elias was baptized by one of our youth staff, pastors in training, Sam Bruno, and that's just awesome. In the north tub here, we have Molly. And Molly's going to be baptized by Pastor Jacob, Molly Byrne. And Molly said, I trusted Christ as my Savior in 1989. And although I was baptized as an infant, I now know I need to be baptized as a believer in Jesus Christ, and I want to do that to demonstrate that I believe in Jesus as my Savior, and I want to continue to grow as a Christian. Awesome, Molly. Congratulations. Fantastic. Woo! Yeah. For you who are not sure what's being said in the tub, we don't put microphones close to water. And so I want to tell you that the pastors are saying something along the lines of, they ask them, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Yes, I am. Is it your desire to be baptized in the presence of all these witnesses, friends and family? Yes, I do. Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You've been crucified with Christ, buried, and risen to walk in a new life. Okay? To my right is Danielle Klein, and Danielle is going to be in there with Sam. And Danielle trusted Christ just 3 months ago when she heard the gospel here at Grace. And even though she was baptized as an infant, it is now her decision to be baptized today because she understands the gospel and she has chosen to be baptized now as a believer. She wants others to know that she believes in Jesus and she is unashamed. Awesome, Danielle. Awesome. Yeah. Woo! Way to go. Pastor Jacob, one of our pastors of care, will be baptizing Vanessa Lane. And Vanessa said she's been here at Grace, or Isaac has been here at Grace his whole life. And I think we've got a mistake here, because that's Vanessa, right? Or is that Isaac? That's Isaac. All right. So Isaac, sorry, somebody put Vanessa there. That's your mom, right? That's your mom. So Isaac has been at Grace his whole life and learned from his family and from his teachers in Grace Kids that Jesus died for all of his sins. He put his faith and trust in Jesus when he was 5 years old and wants to be baptized to show he is a Christian and he wants to grow closer to God. Way to go, Isaac. Way to go. Yeah. Woo! Congrats. So great. You know, I mentioned that Jesus said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Even a child can understand. And in many ways, children have a better, firmer grasp on salvation because their mind hasn't been clouded with all the religion and noise. And so their faith is unadulterated. It's pure. Well, to the right is an amazing young man, Daniel. Daniel and Darlene's son, Daniel Lopez. Daniel trusted in Jesus when he was in kindergarten in the Grace Kids classes on Sunday. And he has learned a lot about God at Grace. He feels that he is ready to take this next step to obey Jesus. He wants to show others that he knows and follows Christ. Way to go, Daniel. Way to go, buddy. You got it, buddy. You got it. You got it, buddy. Woohoo! It's always an intense moment, isn't it? You got it, Daniel. Yeah! Way to go, buddy. Way to go. Yeah. And now we know how Daniel taught his son to swim. Way to go, Daniel. It's amazing. Incredible family. Serve here. Just amazing. And it's so great to see. You know, to my left is Benaiah Schweitzer. And his parents, David and Erica, he's going to be baptized by his dad, David. And Benaiah says, when I was younger, my dad always told me about Jesus and what he did for me on the cross. When I was 4 years old, I knew that only my belief in Jesus as my Savior would save me. Benaiah is being baptized today to show everyone that he believes in Jesus as his Savior. Way to go, Benaiah. What an incredible, incredible day, because David is actually going to be baptized as well. His father, David, is going to be baptized by his mom, Kim Schweitzer. And Kim is one of the most faithful children's leaders and teachers and just people in this ministry. His dad's Pastor Mark. And he says, I've been a believer for almost all my life. When I was young, I was baptized, but for the wrong reasons. I thought it looked like fun. I lived a life that was mostly apathetic in my faith. Then a little over a year ago, an emotional trauma woke me up from that apathy. I am now growing my relationship with God and have overcome my addiction to pornography. I'm getting baptized today to be held accountable and for my recommitment to God, and to be an encouragement to other men to overcome their addiction to pornography by joining the Conquerors class here at Grace Church. Man, brave brother. I'm so proud of you. It's awesome. You know, Pastor Jacob, I think that was cheating. I want to see Kim actually do it all by herself. Well, to my right are just two really, really good friends. Dan Strathman and his wife Ellie is going to baptize him. You guys know that those are two American heroes that serve in this ministry and do so much work through Tribe in caring for our veterans and first responders. And I love this. Dan says, I was about 8 years old when I would say I became a Christian. The problem is that I do not remember much about that experience. And while my family went to church and I was active in the youth group, Looking back, I was not really living out my faith. It was more a cultural and social obligation I felt. I was even baptized when I was around 10, but again, I do not remember much about that either. And I thought that it was just what you were supposed to do, and I did not want to disappoint the people in my life. Needless to say, my focus was not on Jesus. It was on myself and what others might have thought of me. Furthermore, I've recently come to find out that there was a lot of teaching back then in my church that said I could lose my salvation if I did not act or behave the right way. Over 2 decades passed with me assuming I was a Christian, but certainly not choosing to live like one. I have memories on combat missions in Afghanistan, or of frantically racking my brain to try to remember every sin I committed so that I could ask for forgiveness. That way I could be settled up with God if I was killed. I certainly did not understand the assurance I could have had of my salvation, that I could not lose it by committing a sin. The point is, while I might have had that moment of belief when I was 8, I can't entirely be sure. It has only been within the last year or so here at Grace Church that I really started to understand the saving message of God's grace and the assurance that my salvation cannot be lost, no matter what. I want to be baptized today, not to please anyone other than my Father in heaven, and to let everyone know that I have trusted Christ as my Savior. Man, dude, thank you. Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Woo! Woo! Yes. Oh. Man, when you hear these stories, as short or as long as they may be, that is God's transforming power through the gospel. It is God who gets the glory. It's God that's changing lives in this ministry. We get to be a part of that. To my left is Brandon Werner and parents, Chad Clifton. And Brandon trusted Christ as a Savior, as his Savior last year when he came to Grace. And he wants to be baptized today because he wants to be obedient to Jesus and to show everyone that he is a Christian. Way to go, Brandon. Yeah. Yeah. Woo! What a reason to rejoice. Don't go anywhere. We have more baptisms. Let's stand and worship for a moment. Let's stand and worship, and I'll be back in just a moment.
I'm the darkness into your going to sing one more song together here in a minute, but I want to remind you guys that this is going to be the last call for Day of Baptisms. If you guys are ready to take the next step and you want to publicly declare your faith today and get baptized during this service, it is not too late. During this next song, you can make your way to the foyer through the back doors and you can get signed up to be baptized during this service. But you have to do that quick because this is the last chance and the last call for that this service. So make sure you do that as we sing this next song. Sing this out.
You can have my cares, you can have this world's distraction. You can have my eyes, you can have my full attention. I just want you. You can have my heart, you can have my full devotion. You can have my song, you can have my endless worship. I just want.
We have some Day of Baptisms we're going to celebrate before we close the service. And, you know, I always enjoy every baptism, but I love when people are moved by God to take that step, hadn't planned it, And the Holy Spirit moved in their life. To the right of me in the south tub is Kevin Stratford. And Kevin is going to be baptized by Sam. And he said, you know what? It just feels right. I've really been enjoying the messages and the focus on positivity, and I want to demonstrate my faith in Jesus. And Kevin, thank you, man. That's amazing. We're celebrating with you, brother. Yeah. Woo! In the north tub, baptized by Pastor Jacob, is Bryce Sutton. And he's been at Grace 5 years. He said, I was baptized when I was younger, but now I have a way better understanding of it. And in the midst of struggles I've been going through, I'm emerging from this, and I want to show everyone the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Bryce, that's incredible. Man, thank you. In the south tub is Jovian Brown, and Jovian wants to get baptized today because he's realized there's a lot more to life, and through coming to Grace, he started to open his mind up and believe a lot more. He's been able to turn portions of his life around where they were from where they were in the past. He says, I feel baptism is the next step in my journey to proclaim my faith. Way to go, Jovian. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. To my left is Michelle Sanchez. And Michelle's been at Grace 5 years, since she was a little girl. And she said, baptism has been heavy on my heart recently, and I want to be baptized here at Grace because I was baptized when I was young in the Catholic Church, but now I understand. Michelle, that's incredible. Thank you. To my right is Keegan Neal, and Keegan has been here almost 3 years, and he put his trust in Christ literally the first weekend. And Keegan, I just love your proclamation. He said, I know God sacrificed Jesus so I could be saved, and I'm excited to get baptized and show my faith in him. That is it, Keegan. Yeah. Way to go, buddy. Yeah. Now, we're going to close up with what we would consider our greatest online member of Grace Church. And I said Jesus walked 60 miles. Well, Jason traveled 1,300 miles from Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, to be here. And I'm gonna embarrass Jason. He's with his dear friend, Kathy. He was best friends with Kathy's son, who was taken from this world tragically and way too soon. And I think this is a beautiful picture of what God has done through the Booty family. We know Bruce is in heaven smiling down. But Jason, this week I was shooting video and I walked in the room, and Autumn, who's one of our newest members of the staff, said, oh, Pastor Rick, there's this guy. He's like really the most faithful online. I mean, we have so many people and he's always commenting. And I'm like, Jason? He's like, yeah, oh yeah. I know Jason, incredible man. And Jason said this, he knows without a doubt that Christ died to absolve him from his sin, and he wants to make that known publicly in his church. From the moment he walked into this church, he has been impacted about how warm and kind everyone is, and he wants to take that with him. He wants to go back to find a church in Pennsylvania and plug in and do what we do here, he wants to do there. And I think that is terrific. But we're not giving you up. You'll be a free agent bouncing from one church to the next. We love you, buddy. It's awesome. Let's give God a hand for all that he did. What an amazing, amazing day. We're going to close with this last song. Let's stand. We'll have those who've been baptized in the foyer, and I'll meet them in the tent. Don't forget, if you became a believer, to stop and get a new believer bag in the back. And in a moment, Elena will dismiss you, so stay tight. We're going to close in prayer. Some say, well, you know what? When's that really awkward time when we pass an offering plate? We don't do that, all right? But we do believe, as Christians, it is our privilege and responsibility to give to the Lord. And so you can do that in our offering boxes, or you can do that online. But I will tell you, every penny in this ministry goes to transformed lives. And you've seen many already. So let's give God a hand. Let's worship him.